Hello again, Jodie and Stuart here. Welcome to our time of worship together. Welcome to the regulars within our church family and congregation, and welcome to everyone who's listening wherever you are in the globe. Let us commit this time to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, as we gather together in your presence, we pray that by your Spirit you would unite us and that you would speak to us through your word, through what is said and through the prayers, that you would minister into each of our lives by your Holy Spirit, through whom you are not limited by time or space, and to whom we are present, each of us, wherever we are. Bless us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jodie's going to come and bring our reading, which is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 36. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22.
It's titled, Jesus Walks on the Water. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we now reflect upon your word, your Holy Spirit would take the words of Scripture and take the words that I say and blow in and through them to speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we place the story of Jesus walking upon the water alongside the circumstances of our lives today in the midst of this global pandemic, we can say that God didn't cause the storm, but comes to us in the midst of it. God didn't cause or send the virus that is affecting our world, but he comes to us in the midst of it. Going back to the biblical text, we see in verse 22 that Jesus had sent the disciples ahead of him. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. I think Jesus wanted to get rid of the disciples at this point because the crowds were wanting to make Jesus king. And the disciples didn't really understand what type of Messiah he was at this stage. So he wanted them out of the way so he could deal with the crowds by himself, I think. And after he has dismissed the crowds, he goes apart to be alone to pray. In verse 23, it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. So he goes apart to pray alone and to commune with his Father. And it's while he is praying that the disciples are on the boat, and there's a storm that buffets up. It says, the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, in verse 24, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. The wind was against the boat. They were buffeted by the waves. It feels like that at the moment, that we are sailing against the wind at present. It feels we're going against the wind, against the waves at the moment. All the bureaucracy and the guidelines and the things we have to read and to get into place before we can open safely. It feels like we're sailing against the wind. If we look at the increased R rates of infection in Northampton, we feel to be sailing against the wind. We think of the financial challenges when we haven't been able to gather together. We haven't had the same income streams that we would normally have. And we look at next year's budget and look at the projected deficit of thousands of pounds. And that causes us worry and anxiety about our future and our sustainability as a congregation. And then there's the very real dangers of infection, about what this virus does to us. Sometimes younger people think, well, it doesn't really affect us. But if it passes it on to older members, it's still a very pernicious virus which affects our lungs and our organs and our brain and all sorts of things. We're only just discovering the effects that this wicked virus has upon us. And it does feel like the wind and the waves are up and about us and causing us distress. And to be honest, the wind and the waves are very real. But do we focus on them? And Jesus comes to the disciples in the midst of their storm. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Jesus comes to them, walking on the lake, walking on the storm. He is sovereign over the storms of life that the disciples faced and that we face. And the disciples' reaction isn't one of encouragement at first. In verse 26, it says, when the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. The disciples are terrified. They think it's a ghost. They cry out in fear. And we cry out in fear. We are afraid. We are fearful of the future and what it holds at the moment. We can identify with the disciples crying out in fear. We also cry out in fear in our isolation, in our worries and concerns about the future. And Jesus says to them in verse 27, take courage. It is I, or a better translation would be, I am, which is saying, I am God. I am who I am. The sense of the presence of God being here. Take courage. God is here. I am is here. Do not be afraid. And we need to hear those words of courage. And to know that I am, the God who is, the God who is being, the God who is reality, is with us in the midst of the storms that we face. And we don't need to be afraid because I am. I am Emmanuel. God is with us. And we need these words at present in the midst of the fears that we face. And then we have good old Peter, impetuous as ever. We've got to give him credit. He's willing to have a go. He's willing to get out the boat. He says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. He's very game. You know, if we were in the same circumstances, would we do the same? And he manages for some steps. He says, Peter got out of the boat and walked. But only after Jesus had said to him, come. In verse 29, he says, come. Notice Jesus invites him. He needs the invitation first. He just doesn't jump into the water without an invitation. Sometimes we do that. We jump into the water without being invited. But it's only as Jesus invites us to come over the waters that we can walk on the water, so to speak. We shouldn't go out trying to walk on swimming pools thinking that Jesus is calling us to walk on the water. And certainly it wasn't something that happened after this. You don't think of St. Paul when he was in the middle of the storms thinking, oh, remember Jesus walking on the water. Why don't I walk on the water? So it was a one-off event in that sense and not to be repeated in a literal sense. But after some steps, which is amazing that he could manage even a few steps, Peter then focuses on the wind and the waves. It says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried, Lord, save me. Then he focuses on the wind and the waves and sinks. In our present circumstances, it is so easy to focus on the wind and the waves that we take our eyes off Jesus. Our wind and our waves are the worries that we face, the worries about our finances, the worries about our numbers, who will come back to church, all these things, the worries about what we can't do and how it will be so different when we go back to worship, not being able to sing, wearing masks, socially distance, etc. In the middle of all these things, we lose sight of Jesus. At least Peter, when he began to sink, knew what to do. He cried out, Lord, save me, when he was sinking. But when we are sinking in the midst of our worries, do we cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me, and turn to him in the midst of our problems? Not always. And then we see that Jesus reaches out and catches him in verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And then he says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So Jesus reaches out and catches him and saves him, but then rebukes Peter for his lack of faith and for his doubts. And in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, have we lost faith in Jesus in these times? If we focus so much on the problems that face us, that we don't see Jesus in and through the storms. When Jesus climbs into the boat in verse 32, it says that the wind died down. And Jesus brings peace into our storms if we look to him. And here we see the importance of prayer, the importance of turning to him in our storms. How often do we turn to Jesus when we feel overwhelmed, or do we just stew in our storms instead of turning to him in prayer and spending time in silence with him, that he can minister his peace to our souls in the center of our being? And the disciples' response is a response of worship. It says in verse 33, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They worshipped him, recognized who he was. And we need to continue to worship Jesus. Just because we can't get to the physical building of the church, we can still worship him each day in our lives and in our homes. We can sing along to worship songs, we can pray, we can read our Bible, we can watch videos or films about the life of Jesus. And on that, I would recommend The Chosen, which is a series about the life of Jesus that I discovered this week. I don't normally like Jesus films and think they're normally a bit cheesy and pious, but this is quite good. So I would recommend to search for The Chosen. You can get an app, or you can watch it on YouTube. Just Google The Chosen and it will come up. and it gives quite a good presentation of Jesus. And I find that worshipful, and it moved me to tears at times watching Jesus. And we need to find ways of engaging with him at this time. And when we go back into the church building in the coming weeks, even though it'll be severely limited, we can still worship Jesus there. We can still praise him and pray to him and listen for him, even within the limitations which we will face. The temptation for you and for me at this time is to focus on the wind and the waves and the problems, which are very real. But we need to look to Jesus in the midst of this. We need to, as the song says, turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us pray. Father, in the midst of the storms that we face, may we look to you, may we look to Jesus, and forgive us when we let worries and concerns about finances and details about how we can open the church building safely and worries about our own health, when we let these take the main place in our lives and forget about you and forget to look at Jesus in these times. Forgive us and restore our gaze, that we will look to you in the midst of these storms, and that you will bring your peace right there and right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I usually ask another member of the congregation to pray, but this week you've got me, so sorry about the same voice. But let's turn to God in our prayers of intercession for our church family here and for the wider world. Lord, first of all, we pray for our church family here at Carey Baptist Church, as we still struggle about when to open. We had a meeting this week, but felt with the infection rates that our rates in Northampton were still too high to start gathering inside together collectively. So we pray that you will give us wisdom and discernment in the coming weeks, that we'll be able to open safely and soon when the time is right. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember people within our church family and friends known to us who are struggling at the moment, struggling with mental health, struggling with isolation, struggling with health problems, which aren't COVID related, with which they're struggling with at the time. And without mentioning individuals, we leave a moment's quiet to bring these people before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the people of Lebanon and the people of Beirut as they respond to the devastation caused by the explosion this week. We have those images of a mini mushroom cloud from our television in our mind's eye, and we see the destruction to human life and to property that happened in Lebanon. And we pray for the people of Lebanon who are already going through an economic crisis, as well as COVID and a political crisis. And we pray for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray for those who have died. And we pray for those who respond to the reconstruction needed of homes, and those who are homeless, and those who are still injured. We pray that their needs will be met at this time. And we pray for international aid and support into that situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And this week we remembered the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, and today is the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Nagasaki. And we pray, Lord, that this may never happen again, to your people or your creation. And we pray that there would be diplomatic efforts to bring under control the number of nuclear weapons. And we look forward to the day when we won't invest billions of pounds and dollars and yen and rubles into these weapons of destruction, when we can invest them in health and education and development and protecting your environment, your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now I pray together with the Baptist family a prayer that was sent from the Baptist Union this week. It says, as we reflect on how we might walk with you this August, we are drawn back to our knees. We are drawn into the disciples' story as they walked with Jesus and watched him pray. We watched a while as you withdrew to pray. We watched and wanted to follow, but it was hard. We sat and waited while you prayed. We sat and wanted to follow, but it was hard. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray in the storm, in these uncertain times. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as we wade through the risk assessments and reams of changing advice. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as we look at our friends who seem to have everything sorted and all going well. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as we scroll through our phones, through the news feeds, Twitter, Facebook, and more. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as we fear for the future, even though we know we should hope for today. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray in the dark of the night when sleep never comes and all our thoughts are all mangled. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as we walk in community, as we see the young man curled up on the bench and glimpse sadness in the young woman's eyes. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as we decide the right from the wrong. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray, to listen, to sit in the stillness and breathe in the depth of your love. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray, to lift up your name and to call for your kingdom here on the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we pray for the boys and girls and leaders and helpers of the Boys and Girls Brigade who would have had the camp this week. And we pray for them in the disappointment of not going together and enjoying that time together. And we pray for the online activities that happened yesterday and will happen today. And we pray that you would bless and minister to the boys and girls of the brigades. And we look forward in the coming weeks to when they can begin to gather again. We pray for the girls' brigade leaders and the boys' brigade leaders as they make decisions about how and when to open safely in the coming weeks and months. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we offer all these prayers, the prayers said to you out loud and the prayers whispered in the silence of our hearts. And we join together and pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we close by saying the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. So thank you for joining us this week. I hope you have a good week, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Go well, and God bless.